Hello and welcome to a Stone's Age podcast. We are back. It's been a while, but the original and arguably still the best Manchester United supporters podcast is back. My name's Steve Hemsley. We are joined in a few seconds by co-owner Oliver Ash, who is going to talk about what's going on behind the scenes at Maidstone United. Also on my panel tonight, a couple of regulars, Tony Lawless and John Crowther. Let's start with you, John. How are you? Are you excited about the new season? Where's your head at?
Not excited, Steve, actually. It feels like kind of back to where we were. It feels like Groundhog Day. But trying to look on the positive side, we're going to have a lot more derbies next year. There's going to be a lot more Tuesday nights in Dover and Horsham, if those kind of things whet your appetite. So lots more local derbies.
Yeah, Dover on a Tuesday night. Who can't get excited about that, John? And Tony, how about you? All looking forward to the new season?
Yeah, enjoying the break. I think it was well needed by the end of a long season. It was quite an up and down season. Terrible start. Good middle, frustrating end, even though we got to the playoff final. I just felt we just sort of blew it in the final for me.
Right, I think there's no point leaving our man waiting any longer. It's time to bring into the Stone's Age podcast our co-owner, Oliver Ash, who is going to answer some of those questions that I know are impacting on some of our fans' summer holidays at the moment. Oliver, good to see you.
Hi guys.
Hi Oliver.
Got John and Tony here. Nice to see you, Oliver. How's your summer?
See you, John and Tony. Not too bad. It's been very hot today here. What about in the sunny Maidstone?
Yep, the sun is certainly shining in Kent. Oliver, how is your summer and how are you thinking and feeling about the future? Where's your head at the moment?
Well, it's a very good question, Steve. start off. Very good question. I think mixed is probably the answer for all sorts of reasons. I think we'll probably be able to explore that during the course of our conversation. So I'd say very much mixed. The usual sort of excitement before the new season, some satisfaction as to how well we did last season, taking all the circumstances into account. At the same time, a little bit of sort of nervousness about where we're going as a club going forward and a few other things that we'll talk about. So mixed feelings.
Yes, good. Excellent. That Bournemouth game, were you at the match? Were you at the book?
Yeah.
Right. On a scale of 1 to 10, how good is it that we didn't go up because of what you're saying in terms of finances and what might have happened? Is it a relief?
Well, we wanted to win the game, of course, because you want to win every game. And so it was disappointing to lose. But in the cold light of day, when the dust settles, it's an easier task for us to try and compete, obviously, in the National League South than in the National League. So, yes, to that extent, there's an element of relief, but disappointment that we're not able to challenge ourselves at the level up. Because even if it's difficult, and we know it's going to be difficult, we want to do it. You know, it's part of being involved in a club, whether you're a fan or an owner or whatever. You just want to do well and you want to win all the games. So the excitement of being in the top level, we've missed out on again. So, yeah, to that extent, it's disappointing. But the disappointment is tempered by the fact that, we can look forward to probably a slightly easier challenge next season.
Yeah, so before I bring in Tony and John, just quickly. So we know, obviously, George has been signing players. As a co-owner, what's your job when in June? What are you up to, and you and Terry?
We're up to different things, really. I mean, we've obviously the overall responsibility is like basically being the owners of any business is you want to make sure the business is functioning and that people are doing their jobs and that you have a sort of plan for the 1, 2, 3 years ahead, like you'd expect to have in any business. Considering the strategy, the overall strategy, and making sure that a lot of the detail, because there is an enormous amount of detail work that goes on at the club, making sure as far as we can that it's being done and managed correctly and in a way that's going to help the club move forward. So to that extent, in detail, we've been looking at the recruitment, we've been approving recruits, we've been setting a budget, we've been dealing with some of the works going on in the stadium in the end of the season, the famous toilet block, which is nearly ready for next season. And I guess if there's one or two specific areas of work to sort of talk in detail about the season just gone, we haven't filed the accounts, obviously, because the season isn't even finished. But it does look that we will probably make what we could describe as an underlying loss for the third season running. And that's a source of concern because, since we since we got involved 15 years ago and bought the club, it has been profitable most seasons, and we've always talked about being sustainable. And the reality is that we were never really sustainable in the sense of being totally profitable on a net basis. But we were certainly more sustainable than most football clubs, many of whom are basket cases or who are making £1 or £2 million losses a year. So we've been pretty good, but we're not sustainable. We have been making losses. And that's what, I suppose, if there's one area of concern, going back to your first question, it would be that we are now in a situation where it's harder and harder to compete, even at National League South level, compared to 5-10 years ago. It's just getting tougher and tougher. The inflation, there's the general economic situation, which is very difficult. And there's been a lot of inflation in utilities, in general costs, in works costs, which is one reason why whenever we look at a big building project, the costs have usually gone through the roof and we struggle to do it. I mean, even what sounds like a silly project, the toilets, you know, we all giggle because it should be, you'd imagine that would be really simple and cheap. You cannot imagine the cost of a simple toilet block, which is a porter cabin fitted out. I mean, I can't even recall how much it is, but it's at least a six-figure sum. I mean, it's insane. Yeah. So we've got to deal with all of that. We've got player inflation. I think you're probably aware of some of the figures, but when we've come to, you know, for example, I'll give you an example. We'll talk very concretely because some of the players that I know personally and that I like and I followed their career, for example, Jack Barrow. I was in touch with Jack a few weeks ago to say, you know, your contract's coming up. Would you be keen to come back? And he said, yeah, I'd be keen to come back. Obviously, it depends on the conditions. And when Jack was playing for us, I think he was on something like £700 or £750 a week. Now, he's gone to a club in our league for double that this season. And, these are figures that are just out, you know, completely insane as far as I'm concerned. They're not sustainable figures. And so, you know, we as a club, we probably never, certainly in my time, we haven't gone above maybe £900 for a player per week. And now we're finding the sort of players that we'd like to sign, or the players that perform well for us one season and we'd like to re-sign them, they're off for figures like that.
Oh, do you think that Maidstone United is unrealistic and that we actually have to maybe speculate a bit more, have to accept that is the market, or should we just, you know, drop a league and have a, you know?
That's a very good question. And that's a sort of question that for the first time in a long time, we've started thinking about that, whether it's just me talking to Terry a lot or we've decided to set up what we call an advisory board for the first time. So instead of what's happened over the last 15 years is that effectively there hasn't been a board. Whenever someone says, what do the board think? It's Terry and me having a chat on a Sunday morning over a toast. It's really very informal. And for the first time, we said, look, we need to get some of the key players at the club involved more, partly because we need their input. We need more money. We need to bring the people that are the main sponsors rather than the supporters, because the main sponsors have got the money. And we feel we've got to put people on the spot a little bit and say, look, we've been supporting the club as owners for 15 years. We've sunk a huge amount of money into that. We'll end up, whatever happens, we'll end up losing a vast amount of money when we finally quit. But it's been 15 years. And the people that should want the club to continue and to continue to be successful because it's a great institution for the town, for the area, have got to start to think, well, what do we do? Because we're not going to go on forever. And the ideal circumstance is to find somebody to come and take over from us who will be somebody who's, you know, a businessman or two businessmen from the town who've got money, who love the club and who understand how it works. But nobody's come forward. Nobody's come forward with a serious offer and who's got the means or the desire to run the club going forward. So I think that for me, if there's one thing to get the message across, you know, you say, what are you thinking about? I've put a lot of thought into that. That's why we've got this board together now. We're meeting for the first time in a month's time. We've got six of the key sponsors of the club joining the board. We've got the chairman of the supporters club. We've got the two or three main executives. So we've got a chance to have a think tank to consider all the ideas and the challenges the club faces. And as I say, the future, who is going to take this club over? Because, you know, if nobody comes forward because they're just leaving it to us and they say, look, it's okay the way it is. They seem to be doing the work. They're putting the money in. Let's leave it to them. at some stage we're going to want to move on, and there may not be a choice of a good person to sell the club to. So we want to put you guys on the spot a little bit now.
John, did you want to come in there at all?
Yeah, if that's okay. And I'm going to kind of pick up straight away on just some of the things that you've been saying there, and kind of say, well, with regards to costs, you know, everything has gone up, right, a lot in the last, you know, the cost of running a business, whatever size, whichever way you look at it, has gone up in the last couple of years. So it would feel like we're perhaps feeling the pinch of that. In addition, I'd wonder that with Maidstone United, you know, that we've grown from when you guys took over, you know, that is a huge amount of growth over a short period of time. And that if that's a company, then, you know, there's growing pains there about how a business is run. And I'm sure every year everyone learns something different. But I'm wondering if in there that as part of those costs, part of which is cost of living, but if also there's kind of some lessons around, you know, how football club is run, that we've got some great people involved all across the football club, whether they're kind of keen volunteers or sponsors. But, you know, I'm looking around, are there the people that have been used to kind of running a football club, a modern football club at this size, with the kind of ideas and commercial thoughts around how we need to kind of move forward to get the kind of income and revenue that you're, you know, quite rightly said we need?
Well, I think there's, you look at, as I say, we always set out to be profitable, which is something which most clubs can't do. I mean, you look around our league this season, we know Eastbourne have been losing. The chairman was open in saying that he was basically putting in £100,000 a month. Ebbsfleet, we know what they lose, what, 1 to 2 million a year. Chelmsford this year seem to be spending huge amounts of money. There's no way they're going to make it work. So we're up against these sorts of clubs that have got money bags owners. Now, we haven't been able to attract that sort of owner to take over from us, which, you know, may be a shame, because if it's the right person who's prepared to subsidise the club a sensible amount, that would be a really good solution. So we're competing with these clubs. So the cost that you talk about, plus the player inflation, it means that, look, last season, we had a really good season last season. I mean, we finished effectively, by the end of it, we were runners-up. I mean, it was a great, great achievement. And we had good crowds. We had good income across the board. So, you know, the income, the turnover, I don't know, I think it's probably not far from £2 million turnover. And I'm guessing that Eastbourne and Ebbsfleet probably have near on £1 million. So we're doing really well from that point of view. Of course, it's not perfect. We could be doing lots of things better. We're just doing, you know, we're doing our best. And that's good. The problem is on the cost side. The costs have sort of overtaken us. So we, you know, we're looking at the figures for this season. We're looking with shock at the fact that it looks like we're going to lose another £100,000 this season. And that's money that Terry and I have to put in. And we said no more. You know, we're at £2.5 million of debt, and it hasn't gone down any further. So, you know, we can't afford to put any more money in. So that's fine as long as we say we're going to be sustainable. But that's what causes us the difficulty. And going back to what Steve said about what league do we play in, obviously we want to progress, but at the moment, with a good season, we're struggling to break even. And if we don't break even, if we don't make profits, we're not generating any reserves for capital projects, whether it's, you know, replacing toilets, doing a new screen, all the stuff you have to do, we're not creating any reserve for it. So it is a real problem. And there is also there's a base cost of a playing squad that is doing daytime training. There's a minimum that you can't go below, because these are players that are basically putting either all or the majority of their time to the football club. So they have to be paid a certain amount of money. So there is a question at a certain stage, you have to say, well, if you can't afford a budget of more than, I don't know, 700,000, 600,000 a year, you can only do it part-time. So there's all these questions that are now on the table, and I'm looking forward to debate them with a wider circle of people and put them on the spot and say, look, you know, you support the club in many cases generously. What do you want to do now going forward? Because we're not going to be able to be here in 10 years' time. We'll be dead by then.
Tony.
Hiya, you're all right. Hi, Oliver. Yeah, thanks. You're so honest, Oliver, and I do appreciate it. I mean, why do you think nobody's coming to buy the club? I mean, obviously, you're owed the money. I get that. And if it was my money, I'd want the money. But why, after all the success we've had, are we getting no interest off anybody, do you think?
It's a great question. And I am surprised and disappointed by exactly that. That the fact is, okay, as you probably know, without naming names, we've had a couple of our sponsors have been interested in the past, but the offers haven't been really sort of serious and I'd say respectful offers. If we look at what we've invested, what Terry and I want now is to get what we regard as a respectful amount back. We will leave probably something in excess of £1 million each that we'll never get back. But we want to get back a respectful amount. So if somebody suitable comes along, and we have had discussions over the years that, you know, have been promising, if somebody comes along and gives us an offer and has a plan for the club, we'll be delighted to go forward with that. But it hasn't happened. And, you know, we do look at, you hear a lot of offers and takeovers of other clubs. And I do wonder, you know, we've got such a well-run club with such a good support base. And I do wonder, why has nobody come in to buy the club? It is extraordinary. And I think there could be a number of reasons. One of them might be because our money has gone in to build the club, because most other clubs, for example, Chelmsford or Eastbourne, they haven't had, or, well, actually, I'm not sure of Eastbourne, but Chelmsford, they don't own their stadium. It's a council stadium. So probably the price for buying the club is pretty much zero. And then somebody who's got a bit of money might say, well, I'll buy the club for zero and I'll stick some money into the team. With us, you have to have more money, because you need money to buy us, and then you need money to do something with the team. So it's a bigger ask. But look, it's a good question, and I'd like some answers to that question, because I have no idea why we haven't. I really have. I'm really disappointed over the years.
Another question on that topic. If the interested parties, how would that look? Because in the past, what we've heard is that, you know, you're looking for investors. But if it is people to take over the club, how does it then look for beyond that, for yourself and Terry, past that stage? Would you still have any involvement, or look to still have any involvement in running of the club?
It's completely up to what a sensible and suitable purchaser wants to do. If he wants to buy 100% and kick us out, we'll go. It's entirely with a view to what's best for the club. If somebody comes along and says, could you stay for a year to sort of help me, you know, bed into the club, we'll probably do that. If he says, will you stay in for 10%, 20%, we'll probably do that. Whatever is suitable. I'm flexible. It's just, I think with Terry and I, it is such a complicated business. And maybe I shouldn't say that if we're trying to attract people to buy it, but it is a really complicated business. I mean, it's a small business, but it's so labor intensive. And there's so much, I can't avoid the nonsense that comes with it. And therefore, we've kind of, without giving you in any case the impression that we're not still on the case, because we are, Terry and I both, we're still working very hard day to day to do stuff to make the club tick, and we're still doing the job as volunteers. We don't take any money out of the club, but we're still doing it. But the energy kind of dissipates over the years. You know, you get, you know, we win a game now, and it's not joy, it's relief for me. And when we lose, I think, oh Christ, you know, here we go again.
What's interesting is, you know, we talk about being a business and sort of whether we should cut our cloth. I mean, I look at the club and I think there's so many teams. You're talking about the three quarter time, whether it works or not. I mean, to me, you know, we've had this discussion loads of times, you know, being part time in National League South is not the end of the world. I do believe, and Tony probably agrees with me, I think we'll get better players and in some more experienced, better players, not all the youngsters who we're trying out. Is it about maybe just trying to cut the cloth, cut the turnover, and trying to weather the storm and maybe going part time? Is that the solution, do you think?
It might be down the road. I don't think we're quite there yet. I think being very open, and this is the sort of numbers that we'll talk about at the board when we have our first board in a month's time. We've worked very hard to look at the last season, this current season, where we think we're going to make probably about 100, 125 grand of loss. And we've said, with Bob and Ian in the office, we've said, where can we increase our revenues and reduce our costs for this season so we can have at least the same playing budget we've had? And what we have done, in fact, is increase the playing budget by what we think is a sort of cost of inflation, not even inflation of players, but just inflation of national insurance, because the national insurance has given us a hit of probably 25, 30 grand just through the budget. So we've tried to keep that up, and we've identified a number of areas of savings. Bob and Ian and the people in the office are working very, very hard to identify savings. So we're budgeting next season to get back into the black, probably for the same tune. So we're budgeting hopefully for $100,000 profit next season. We have increased prices. It's again something that I hope most supporters understand, that when we do adjust prices, it's with a view to making the club sort of sustainable and profitable, and making sure we can be as competitive as possible with the playing squad. So for the time being, this season, I hope that we'll show that we can be competitive. We may not have we may have only the sixth, seventh, eighth biggest budget this season in the league. It's always difficult to tell. If you look at who's come down and who's going up, we've got some big teams have come into the league. We've got big spenders. We've got Dagenham, Ebbsfleet. You've got, well, I'm not sure who else, Dover, Horsham. We've got some sort of serious hitters. So it's going to be tough. But for the time being, I don't think we need to contemplate dropping down to part time. It feels to me that would be a backward step. It was a step to take if there's no alternative, to try and get back to the days when we had, you know, we had those promotions in the early days when we had part time players that were good players. And I know what you're saying, Steve, but now it's a different world now. Even the part time players, I would imagine their costs would have gone up. And I'm not sure how our fan base would react to that. So it's a difficult one.
Yeah, it is difficult. I mean, I've been Tony, because I know like Stockport County, I think when they went part-time in the end in National League North, and so did Scunthorpe, just for a couple of seasons, just to get themselves back on an even keel. And then they went full-time again once they sort of sorted themselves out.
Yeah, I've never liked full-time, to be totally honest with you. I find so many teams come and play us that aren't full-time. We never look fitter than them. That's just my opinion. I think it's a frustrating one, and I totally understand everything you've said. But if we can't compete, you know, if we can't really compete to try and go and win the thing, which I think is going to be very hard this season, judging by all the figures and the costs, with even the turnover of crowds we've got, I think we'd be better off going part-time, personally. Because I think 80% of the fans realise, you know, we're no different to you, Oliver. Driving home from Boreham Wood, I was fed up because as a fan, I wanted us to get promoted. But I knew if we did get promoted, it's going to be a hell of a season, probably a very disappointing season. Because we just haven't got the money and the infrastructure to support a National League side at the moment. So I think the fans and everyone's got to realise we can't. And maybe we've got to be mid-table side and start consolidating the money. Maybe have a total look at, you know, Dorking. I don't think they're full-time, are they? Got a feeling they're not. I think they train twice a week.
I don't know.
You can see the kind of players they attract. And they're part-time. Well, they were part-time.
You may be right,
and it's yeah, I don't know.
Open question about part-time, full-time, but it's not really something that's on. It's not something I'm thinking about a lot at the moment, because I think we can compete. We showed it last season.
Yeah,
we can compete with our budget and our squad. And okay, it might be more difficult this season because every season gets harder. But I still think we can compete. And we were lucky that we've got with George and Craig and Zach and the team, and that's about it. So it's a small team. They are very, very good, and they're dedicated, and they do a great job. So we can. And I think that so far, touch wood, the recruitment that we've done this season has been good. I think there's some good players coming in, and I'm positive that we can do well, and it can be exciting. And of course, you know, if you do look at the season before, we didn't do so well in the league, but even then, we got to the semis of the playoffs, and we got to the fifth round of the FA Cup. So, you know, we're voicing all these concerns in this podcast, and we're all, you know, we. Day to day, we're always worried and concerned, because that's part of the job of running a business, is trying to preempt any problems. You know, you're trying to troubleshoot and see, well, what can we do now that will stop something going wrong in a year's time? But I don't think we need to think yet about it. I don't think it will be a solution to a problem. I think very few clubs do that. And I think it would probably be quite difficult to put into place. I think people would regard it as a backward step. And don't forget that the person who's going to come in to take over, it may be next week that somebody comes along who's a good person, who's prepared to put in another $250,000 a year in sort of subsidy, and could enable us to compete and to be sustainable at the next level up. And if you go, you know, changing, as I say, from full-time to part-time is a big, complicated job, and it's not done lightly. So for the time being, we'll discuss it at our new board, but I don't think personally that it's the time to do it.
John?
Yeah, so I'm just kind of focusing on the what you've mentioned about this new board Oliver sounds quite interesting and you know, perhaps a positive step forward. Is that something that, because I know you've got a you kind of share a lot of interest in governance of football clubs, so is that board something that everyone will have kind of visibility and there'll be transparency around what takes place in that? Because I think that's something that, you know, the broader supporter community would be very interested to know all about that.
Well, I think many things which will be discussed in the board. I don't think the board, like the minutes, will be public. I don't think so. I think it has to be confidential, because that's the nature. We want to make sure people can speak openly in the meeting and not be concerned that that might get out. But most things that could be of interest to supporters, we are always prepared to discuss them openly, whether it's on a podcast like this or at the supporters meeting. There's hardly a question that we won't answer. So, you know, it's not, we've always been, I think, very transparent and open. I've given you an indication of what our figures are going to be like and what the budget's going to be like next season. We're very open with our supporters. We trust that they'll understand, and the more they understand, the more they'll understand how we try and run the club in the interests of the club. So it's not a problem. But I think as a board that's a new board with people on it who are sponsors of the club, it needs to have a certain amount of confidentiality. And also, I think that it's another theme that I think we have to address, and it's a much more wide theme than just football. It's this whole business of social media and issues around, political issues around football. And we've spent a lot of time, wasted a lot of time, which I really regret, and it does drive me nuts, dealing with issues around bad supporter behaviour, hooliganism, issues around matches, things which are peripheral and should be peripheral to running a club and making our club as successful as possible. But, you know, we get dragged into things which are just totally nuts and which waste a lot of time and energy. And it is very tiresome. And I think we're in this age, I think more and more over the last year, that the whole social media world that we're in, which is, okay, mainly a young person's world, is incredibly damaging for the football club and for the in just in general, and it's extremely toxic, and it I find it more and more tiresome. I mean, Steve will know, because I know that we follow each other on the only social media I ever consult now, and I don't do it anymore. You may have noticed I don't actually post on it anymore. But every time the club posts something, there's always negativity around it. Whatever it is, there's always people that will say something negative. And I think it's just very damaging, actually, because it just makes everything more negative. And I just kind of yearn for the days where people didn't feel that life was all about getting likes and followers on their social media and influencing people through social media, and could discuss stuff face-to-face. And I think that it's maybe, going back to one of Tony's questions, that there are fewer people wanting to take the club over, because they see the stuff that we get involved in. This whole business of the game between Dulwich and Clapton, that was the flags waving, the banners and all this. It's occupied poor Bob in the office for about a third of his time dealing with this. And it's just nuts.
Yeah, I mean, let's be positive. I mean, we've got 800 season ticket sales, which I think is pretty good.
That's brilliant. I'm really pleased that our early bird offer has gone down so well. It's all positive. I mean, I don't want to drag the mood down. I'm just being very realistic about your first question. What challenges?
How are you feeling?
How do you see things? I'm being very open that there are lots of challenges around.
So, Tony, anything you want to ask Oliver? Let's try and get that mood up. Because, I mean, the context of what we're saying here is we did have a blooming good season last year, didn't we? We did get to the playoff final. And the year before that, the FA Cup run. Tony?
Yeah, I mean, personally, obviously, I'm disappointed with Blair, Temi. Won't be surprised if Brooks go. But I totally understand if they get offers at higher clubs, more money, naturally they're going to go. And personally, I think that some of the signings, all the signings, to be fair, I've been pleased with them so far. But what new things have we got to look forward to this year, Olive?
I think I said it before, we've increased the budget this year, but the playing budget, but that's, you know, the costs of national insurance have gone up. So in real terms, it's the same. And yet George is faced with this player inflation. So in real terms, it probably hasn't gone up. having said that, if we're able to increase the revenue the way I'm hopeful we have done with the work that's gone into increases and decreasing costs, we may have a little bit up our sleeve, if you know, which we always need during the season when there are loan signings available. And so, yeah, I'm hopeful that we'll be able to put together a good team. And there'll always be some surprises. And what we need to do, and everyone's conscious of it, as a recruitment team, is to make fewer mistakes and more successes, and recruit more Blairs and fewer, I won't name them.
Yeah.
You know, make fewer mistakes. And, you know, we have gone out, we have tried to attract the players that we wanted to keep. We've made good offers to all of them. Some of them, like Blair and Iweka, who've really had outstanding seasons, they've gone a level above, fair dues. They're earning way above, and they've gone to a level above. One or two, I'm very disappointed that Seaman has gone to Ebbsfleet. But again, his wages are way up. I don't know what's happened to Brooks. I don't know where he's going. We made him a fantastic offer, which would have broken the club's previous wage structure. So there may be players that don't want to play for other reasons. Maybe they don't like the coaching system. I don't know. But we've made a big effort to retain our best players. We've taken a view on some of the others for all sorts of reasons, whether they're injury prone or we just feel it's time to move on, or sometimes players have got international duties which take them out for 10 games a season. We lose them and then they come back with injuries. There's all sorts of, recruitment is very difficult, but I think we've got a good squad. And so I'm hopeful. Yeah, I'm absolutely hopeful that we can compete this season. I mean, we've got a great management duo.
Mm.
And most players really love playing for them.
Yeah, John, you're still playing, aren't you? So you're quite cheap, aren't you?
You're cheap, John. I'm not sure Oliver knows, but Tony, Steve, and I, we all play for the same football team. And I think if you get the three of us, I think we'll probably do a deal, guys. I think, wouldn't we? Like, I just want to kind of think, like, on the, if you're, we, it now feels like we're in kind of, when we talk about seasons, it now feels like, compared, it almost feels like a Netflix television season, like when it comes to George, because George feels, it now feels like we're in cycle three of a Maidstone United squad, and we've seen the previous two seasons. We know what happens there. We know it takes kind of, you know, the first kind of few games for him to gel, but then what does happen is we then do get some fantastic experiences in matches, and there's going to be players that we don't even know about. Yeah, that kind of come Christmas, we're going to be our favourite players again. And then perhaps at the end of the season, you know, we're going to, you know, have to say goodbye to them. But what I do think is that it's almost guaranteed now that George, you have a player has a conversation with George, they want to play for him, he builds a great team. And then at some point in the season, we're going to have some great experiences watching some fantastic players.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what I'd like, Oliver, if you have a word with George? I want to get to Wembley. Can we stop treating the FA Trophy with disrespect? Can we please try and get to Wembley? I did it with, you know, I didn't go with Tunbridge Wells when they got to the Vars final because I was at a Stones playoff game. But I want to see us play at Wembley. But every year we enter the FA Trophy, we put out our reserves or our second string and we get turned over. So if you can ask George anything, say the fans want to get to Wembley. We don't want to go up. Or we can't go up. Can we please get to Wembley? Because it's a great day out.
I think we all want to do well. I'd love to get to Wembley. It would be, I kind of thought after the Ipswich game, it will never get better than this, but Wembley would certainly be a fun. But, you know, sometimes you have to, depending on where injury is, you have to, you know, manage your squad. So it's a shout.
Of course.
Want to do well in the FA Trophy. Of course, it's just things. But it's true that we've had two good seasons. I think expectations are always high at our club. Reason, because since we came back to the Gallagher, it's been an upward curve. So you sort of, you know, you train particularly the new supporters to think it's just success. So they're more and more demanding. And that's one of the reasons why it gets a bit tiresome that, you know, you have a good season like last season and you still hear people complaining and you think, well, you know, we were within a whisker of going up. And what, you know, what do people want? So next season, I want more of the same. I'd like to have a good cup run in the FA Cup, a good cup run in the trophy, and to be challenging in the playoffs or near the top of the table with the league team and play good football. That's all.
Yeah.
Now, I've got my season ticket. I'm all sorted. So, yeah, I look forward to it. I'm like John. You know what football fans are like. You know, like first seven games last year, I was suicidal. And then very, very quickly, you're on a run and just silly. You know, that's why we love football so much. That's why we love it.
This is the problem with when you do change a lot of players in the team.
Yeah.
Why you know, we're aware of that, and it's a message that we've said. It's not necessarily a good idea to release six players from your squad that you think haven't quite done it. And because there's such a pressure on recruitment, the chances are you might recruit another six players and three of them will be disappointing. So actually, you might just as well have kept the six that you released. So, yeah, it's a discussion frequently. But we do attract players now, particularly in the George era. We attract players who know that George will develop them. So if they come here, they know that if they have a good season, the chances are they'll be in a really good position to go up another level. So another thing that we've asked the recruitment team is to negotiate options on contracts. So we have an option for another year so that we can keep them for another year and they don't have a right, simple right to walk away after 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing what we can to reduce the number of players that we have to recruit every year.
Okay, brilliant. Thank you. John, do you want a final word with Oliver?
No, I've got enjoy the rest of your summer, Oliver. I really appreciate you, how candid you've been. And looking forward to more memories next season.
Yeah, Tony?
Yeah, 100% agree with John. Thanks for everything you do, Oliver, and obviously Terry and all the team. Enjoy your summer. Refresh those batteries.
Thanks for
enjoy the nice weather. Back at it.
Yeah. Oliver, who did you vote for, Player of the Year?
I don't think I had a vote, did I?
Did you not? Who would you have voted for, Player of the Year? Or is it too, can you not say?
Can I say a few? Because
No, one.
No.
The players that were out.
Not having any of that.
George Fowler was outstanding. Henry was outstanding. Ben Brooks was outstanding. Aaron Blair was outstanding.
Well, there's your short list of four.
Yeah.
Who's getting the...
If I had to choose one of the four, I'd probably go for Temi because he's just an all-action, totally courageous player. But as I've probably upset George and he's the one that's actually staying, I'd say it was George.
That's great, Oliver. Thank you very much. As always, we really, really appreciate you coming on the Stones Age podcast. We appreciate your honesty and insight. So thank you to co-owner Oliver Ash and to my panellists, John Crowther and Tony Lawless. I'm Steve Hemsley. This is the Stones Age podcast. Hopefully we will be back with you very soon and before the new season. Thanks for listening.